You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we look at the Texans Pro Football Focus defensive grades. We did the offensive grades yesterday and have a conversation with rookie tight end Jordan Akins out at Texans camp. Welcome aboard, everybody. Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's HouseofHouston.com. Thanks for diving in to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. Texans starting right offensive tackle Chantrell Henderson is on track to return for the season opener after recently having a non-cancerous cyst removed. Some of you might have been wondering, where was Chantrell Henderson in that third preseason game? That's what was going on. So it was non-cancerous, which is good. This is common with patients with Crohn's disease. And of course, we talked about a little bit about his background. Many of you might remember Henderson has been dealing with this condition over the last 3 years. So that's the latest with Chantrell Henderson. The Texans also released wide receiver Chris Thompson. Didn't really see him at all. I mean, he's been injured a ton over the last couple of months. So Chris Thompson no longer with the Texans. And that leads us straight into our Texans defensive grades, Brian. And what have you got for us today? What do the defensive grades look like?
Top score in, as far as defense, Kareem Jackson. He had a 93. That's darn near perfect. So right behind him, and Rob, you talked about this on the postgame show, Brandon Dunn, the second highest performer at nose tackle. They're trying him out there. He took 18 snaps at nose tackle. He got an 86.2. Clowney, 82.4. Angelo Blackson, he's one of the bubble guys. I do not have him on my 53-man roster, but he's making an impression for himself. Hopefully somebody is watching him, and he gets latched on somewhere else. He had an 81. How did J.J. Watt do? I know everybody's wanting to know. 78.1. He was the seventh greatest, highest defensive guy out there, and he took 8 snaps. So he wasn't out there that long. As you know, he, along with the first team, they only took 8 snaps. I think that y'all just went out at once from what I'm seeing here and from what I recall when I watched the game. So Clowney took 8 snaps. Zach Cunningham, 80.5. I mean, you expect Zach Cunningham to turn in a good grade every week. I think the second game of the preseason, the week before, I think he was in the 70s, but pretty much he's been rock solid in the 80s every week. So those are your top guys. Your worst performers on defense, Diversion, 44.8, second to last lowest score. Kenan Gilchrist, 29.7. These two guys probably are not going to be on the roster that much longer. Although I really do hope that they may hold Diversion on the practice squad. Maybe there's some development there that they can offer him. But at this point, you already know what he is. He is what he is. So there you go. DJ Reader had a 46.9. I'm just going to take that with a grain of salt. He only took 8 snaps along with the rest of the starters. That's not a good number to really gauge him by. We know he's good, and he'll be fine when the season starts. Tyrann Mathieu took 8 snaps as well. 61.3 was his grade. So, again, he hadn't been out there long enough to be effective, so that's going to be another score that you take with a grain of salt.
The two numbers that I really find interesting, and these two guys, you might not even have these on your 53-man roster, Brian, but Curtis Drummond and Ibrahim Campbell, both of those guys with a lot of snaps. They're getting a lot of snaps because they're trying to make the roster, 35 snaps and 33 snaps for Drummond and Campbell, and they're both in the 70s, two of the better scores. And do you have those guys on the roster at all? I mean, in your final 53?
I cut them. Cut them both.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, that's interesting from those guys. Blackson, you feel like his odds went up when Marcus Hardison got cut this week. So maybe Blackson has got a really good chance to make the roster right now, but don't know. Have you been sort of looking at this 53 and anything that surprised you as if you were kind of going through that?
As far as Marcus Hardison being cut, that kind of surprised me there when I heard of the news, because he had been doing so well, had a sack, in this, I believe it was this past game, if I'm not mistaken. And Sasha Ray, I have on my 53-man roster because of the depth we need at corner. I still have a way. There is a path for him to make this roster, even though we have signed Kayvon Webster. So that's a guy you want to keep an eye on. I think he has done just enough to make it. Out of all the undrafted free agents, there's really – the crop wasn't as good as I – you know, like last season, you know, where you had a lot of guys. And then the season before with Charles James, you know, he was a guy that we were all rooting for to go on and make the team. So that's, you know, a perfect example there. But that's the only guy I see out of the undrafted free agents making the team. But Ibrahim Campbell, he had a 71.2 defensive grade. His pass rush grade was a 59.2. So, yeah, I just don't have him there. He's just not performing, you know, well enough to have a spot on this team. Nick Thurman, I have on my practice squad. I think you could put him there and develop him for a while. You might want to go on and stash him on the practice squad. He's a guy that probably he's not too risky of stashing away. I don't think anybody's going to pluck him off, but I really do think that we should kind of keep this guy around because he's flashed a little bit in camp as well as in these games.
Has he? I haven't noticed. I barely noticed that he's played at all. Who else do you have on the practice squad? Because it looks like there's a lot of guys you would think that are practice squad guys. I mean, Giovanni Robinson is an obvious guy. Definitely he's going to be on the practice squad.
He's on there. He's on mine. Yes, he is. If you want to know them all, I've got Jared Jones-Smith on there because, you know, he has not taken many snaps. Offensive lineman, he hasn't been used that much. I don't know if he's hurt or they just want to kind of save him and they don't want the world to see what this guy has. So they're going to stash him on the practice squad and develop him for a while. Maybe we may see him later on in the season, depending on how things go. Once Josh Thornton gets healthy, I have him on there. They'll move him to the practice squad, I'm predicting. LaVon Coleman, I'm liking what I see out of that running back. We're running back heavy, but I think that's a guy you can put on the squad to develop. Jermaine Kelly. You would put him on there. Of course, you run the risk of somebody picking him up, but we haven't seen he's hurt, and teams haven't seen what he has. So I don't honestly think that people are going to pluck him. You could put Bryce Jones on there too. I believe Bryce Jones was on there last season, so he's still eligible for that. Our sixth round pick, Peter Kalambayi, you can put him on the practice squad. Strong risk of somebody picking him up. There's always need for a linebacker, always need for someone to develop. And, you know, Peter Kalambayi is one of those guys.
Now, I think he's done too well in special teams. And I you just don't really see teams putting six-round picks on practice squad. I don't know if that's going to happen. I want to get – just in a second, I want to get who you have on the team to replace him or who in that spot. But before we do that, let's talk about our sponsor, MyBookie, Brian, because we got to talk about that because the season, it's just around the corner. We're just a couple weeks away. So I know people are going to be thinking about where can I make my bets? If I want to throw some bets up, where do I go?
Yeah, well, you definitely need to go to MyBookie. And, you know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. Do you have the Texans? Do you have the Cowboys? Who do you have? Let me tell you this. Well, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to go to MyBookie.ag. They've been in this business for years and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts. Seriously, just two business days. I would recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to 100% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON with your deposit, and that will activate the offer. So visit MyBookie.ag or run over to the app. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, Brian, here it is. We got to figure out maybe a couple of the borderline guys that you have on the Texans roster. I'm wondering about, let's start off with the running back situation. Tyler Irvin, Tremaine Pope are both neither one of those guys. What do you do?
I've got Tremaine Pope making the roster. and I'm cutting Tyler Irvin. You're getting the same production out of these guys, but I think you've got an edge with Troymaine Pope. Yes, he's an undrafted free agent. And yes, we wasted a – well, I'm not going to say waste. We used a fourth-round pick on Tyler, but we just don't know how effective he's going to be this season. I just don't see a path for Tyler to make this roster. So I have him cut, and Troymaine gets a nod.
Who's getting on between Braxton Miller and Sammy Coates?
I have them both. I tried my hardest. Is there a way for Braxton to make this roster? Ultimately, with what we saw last week and just the weeks leading up to what we saw with the touchdown catch, I think he has done enough to make the roster. Braxton Miller will be on this roster, as I project, along with Sammy Coates. They are going to be able to coexist.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I don't know what you do there if you get rid of one of those guys or not. I mean, I would think that you might have to try to keep both of those guys if it's possible, because you don't want to get rid of one of them and think, oh, I wish we would have kept on that guy, the other guy, because I just don't know. I don't know how you split that hair. And I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I would have Troymaine Pope. They might be still in love with Tyler Irvin because maybe that was a Bill O'Brien pick more than a Rick Smith pick back when they made it. It's who knows, hard to tell, but you were saying before that Colin Baye, I mean, the last time we saw the Texans try to sneak a 6th-round pick on the practice squad was Chris Jones a couple of years ago, and that worked out so well that the Patriots picked him up, and he had a pretty good year that year. So it turned out to be a big mistake. So I don't see them doing that with Colin Baye. He's supposed to be a special teams guy. I noticed the special teams numbers have been okay for the most part. I mean, we haven't seen him splash on special teams, but you know, he's a young guy. I mean, maybe somebody gets injured and that's how he makes the roster. You know, break down the outside linebackers. I mean, what do you got there? I mean, it's a deep, it's like I said, that linebacking core, it's a deep group. I mean, you've got the big guys on the inside with Zach Cunningham and Dylan Cole and Bernardrick McKinney. I know you love Brian Peters, who can play inside and outside. Josh Kyes is somebody that's looked good on the inside. Does Brennan Scarlett automatically get a spot on your roster? That's a question I'm curious about. And Ufombo Kamalu, who I thought had splashed a little bit last year, but we haven't seen it as much this year.
Brennan Scarlett, I was very close to cutting him, but he's on. And I've got Ufombo Kamalu as well. They both are making this team.
Yeah, Ufombo Kamalu, I think maybe out of practice squad eligibility, so you would expose him. But I think Colin Baye, I mean, I just don't know if they would do that to a 6th-round pick. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But we know one guy that's going to be on the roster for sure, and that's Jordan Akins. I had a chance to catch up with him out at practice, and here's how it went.
Jordan, first of all, I want to ask you about getting drafted in the 3rd round, both in baseball and in football. Can you take me through those days and compare the experiences? What was it like to be drafted in the 3rd round in baseball and then the same thing in football?
It was really just like a dream come true, honestly. Baseball, you know, it was my dream since I was 3 years old. So, you know, when it came up, you know, the 1st round went by. I was getting calls, but, you know, it didn't happen. 2nd round went by, you know, eventually I'm thinking college. And then 3rd round went by and, you know, weighed out my options. And, you know, I always could go back to school, so I decided to go, you know, pursue my dream. Which was a blessing, you know. I had a great time. I don't regret anything. I would do it all over again if I had to. In football, it was so much exciting, you know, traveling the combines and, you know, the different teams, interviews and stuff like that. I knew I wasn't going to go for a 2nd round. You know, I was praying for 3rd round as early as. And, you know, started getting nervous a little bit, you know, as, you know, the picks started to go by and, you know, last couple picks and my phone rang and it was Houston Texans, man. You know, I was overwhelmed. I was excited. Me and my family, everybody was going crazy. And it was the best feeling in the world, honestly. You know, and going 3rd round in both sports is kind of unique. You know, it's different, but, you know, I'm honored to, you know, be in this position.
You know of anybody else that's a couple guys that you know of, or how many guys that have been able to do that, to be drafted in both sports in 3rd round or better?
I believe Hayden Hurst. Him and a few of my friends, Jamie Jarman, he will be coming out this year, plays for Delaware University. But other than that, not really, man, just the greats like Bo Jackson, you know, and Deion Sanders and you know, people in that in that era, but in this young generation, I only really know Hayden Hurst, Russell Wilson. I believe he played. He was drafted for baseball as well.
Yeah, that's right, Russell Wilson also. Hey, when you were in baseball, who was the best guy that you played with? I think you played with Rougned Odor, right, when you were in single A?
Man, I played with Rougned Odor. I played with Joey Gallo, Nick Williams. I played with Odubel Herrera, Ryan Rua. Man, I played with so many. Majority of that team that I was on in 2013, 89 to 90% of them are in the majors right now. So that team, you know, it was very special then, and those guys are very special. They're going to do big things in the major leagues.
Yeah, they just told me you have to run, but I want to just ask you one more question. Baseball, they always say the hardest thing to do is hit a curveball. What's the hardest thing to do? Is there an equivalent to that in the NFL?
In the NFL, the hardest thing to do in the NFL.
What was the hardest thing to hit a curveball for you when you were in baseball?
It was more the slider. The hard slider, you know, the curveball kind of hung a little bit. You can you know, sit back and stroke it. But that hard slider, you never know when that thing's going to move. But football, everything is different about football. It's more effort, you know, and knowing your assignment and just executing. I would say the most difficult thing to do is executing in clutch situations, just being able to think on the go and, you know, just make the right decisions full speed. I think that's the hardest thing to do in football.
I know you got to go to your next meeting, but congratulations on all this, and thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you.
That was former Hickory Crawdad Jordan Akins. Quite a story. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a bit, but first, quick reminder, it is crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the egg. That's Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. It's here to help you win your league. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to talk fantasy football with our expert, Andy Rio. So you're not going to want to miss that. So Jordan Akins, he had some of that wrong, what he was saying, Brian, because I asked him, you know, who was picked in the third round or higher in both baseball and football like Jordan, and he brought up Deion Sanders. Well, Deion wasn't picked until the sixth round in baseball. Hayden Hurst, he mentioned, wasn't picked until the 17th round in baseball. Bo Jackson, even Bo wasn't drafted until the fourth round. So, and that's in baseball. Of course, all those guys were picked really, really high in football, but I mean, that tells you what a remarkable feat this is. I couldn't find anywhere on the internet where they were keeping track of, you know, two guys that were drafted super high in both. So it's, you know, you had to go look up everybody individually, anybody that you thought, oh yeah, that guy was drafted in football, baseball. But, you know, just talking to him, you know, that's got to be something really special just to sit at home one year and you're getting drafted in the third round in baseball. And then a few years later, that doesn't work out. You go, okay, well, I'm going to try football. And here we go, is the draft again. And this time I got drafted in the third round of football also.
I think that Jordan just doesn't know the gravity of what he's done in his collegiate career and, you know, going into his professional career. He hit 218 in the minors, and he just talked about, you know, the guys that he played with, our nemesis, the Rangers, you know, Ryan Rua, Joey Gallo, Rougned Odor. And like you said, about 90% of them are in the majors now. I'm glad it didn't work out for Jordan. I'm not going to say I wish it would have worked out for him because he's here now. But that just goes to show why his versatility. Not a lot of guys have gone out there and completed such a feat.
Oh, yeah. No, it's remarkable. And, mm-hmm. you know, I asked him, it was funny because I said, the hardest thing to do in football is what? And I just assumed in baseball it was hitting a curveball for him. But, you know, he said no, it was hitting a slider, but just a really well thought out answer about some of the stuff in football that's just difficult. I mean, if you're going to play in the NFL, you got to figure this stuff out and you got to figure it out on the fly. And this is a guy that's not a kid anymore. You know, he's 20, big 20s, 26 years old. So, you know, that's just that's part of his journey to getting to the Texans. And if he could figure this thing out, not only are the Texans in good shape, but he's got a story to tell the grandkids about what he was able to do in both sports. And I wanted to ask him about Rougned Odor and a little bit about, you know, is this guy kind of a jerk? Because that's what we think as Astros fans. And around baseball, maybe that's the perception of Runa Dodora. And I'd be curious to find out what his thoughts were. But I was limited on time. They were telling me that he had to run to a meeting. But, yeah, he played with a bunch of guys that are already in the major leagues and some really good players just in that little short time that he was with the Rangers. And the Rangers had a lot of talent in their system at the time. That was a team that, you know, would go on to do good things before it's fallen apart over the last couple of years. But, yeah, Jordan Akins is you know, he's somebody that we know if this happens and he turns into something that, yeah, it's going to be something that you're going to want to tell the grandkids about. No doubt about that. But anything else, any thoughts before we head into the Cowboys game? We're going over a little bit your 53-man roster. We're doing the show with Andy tomorrow, so we're not going to get a chance to dig too deep into it. But it's one of those years, Brian, where I think about the 53-man roster, and there's just not a lot of these major decisions that the Texans have to make because so many of it just seems like it's a lot more secure this year than a lot of years. I mean, other than the Troy Maine, Pope, Tyler Irvin thing, Sammy Coates, you know, and Braxton Miller, those are the ones that, to me, the fans are real curious. And, you know, I mean, maybe you and I are interested if Peter Kalambayi makes the team, but I don't know if anybody else cares that is just your average Joe Texans fan out there.
And I'm pretty sure the people who listen to this show, you know, they're far, you know, as far as for Die Hard, you know, they're well over the top because, you know, we dig in, we give you all the data that you need to learn about your Texans. But I just, when it came down to Kalambayi, I just didn't know what to do with him. And I wanted to keep him, but there's other guys that I feel that deserve that spot. You could easily cut Brandon Scarlett, but again, you've got the experience with Brandon. You don't have it with Peter. Peter's just a tough, it's just a tough spot for him right now. I even cut Josh Kyes. I mean, he's been flashing quite a bit, but I just could not find any room for him. I just feel that because of what he's shown with the Texans, somebody's going to pick him up. But that's the only guy really I'm concerned about that somebody might scoop him up if we put him on the practice squad because, you know, it's a six-round pick, you know, and he's got some talent. He just hadn't had an opportunity to show it, and teams would be willing to go out there and sign him off the practice squad.
Yeah, Kyes is somebody that looked good, I thought, one of the preseason games. Other than that, no, it's hard to really know how these guys are looking in total because we didn't get a chance to go to training camp in West Virginia. And, you know, you got to be out there all the time and you got to be looking for exactly what they're looking for. And special teams is, that's a whole other thing that we might not know exactly what the special teams coach is thinking of, because this is how a lot of these borderline guys make the team. It is going to be special teams. That's the reason they're on the squad. That's the reason you need them on the 53. And that's been a problem with the Texans over the years that they're trying to correct. So this is something that they've got to get right this time around. I'm interested to see what's going to be there on Friday. What are we left with the Texans? Who can you put over on the practice squad and maybe keep around? But I don't think the Texans are going to lose anybody major. There's nobody you're going to go, oh, they put that guy on the, you know, they cut that guy and they tried to put him on the practice squad and now he's gone. There's nobody I'm that concerned about. I mean, just not right now anyway.
Right. And before you, I know you're about to wrap things up, but I just want to talk about the tight end battle. I feel we're going to carry with three tight ends, and it's going to be Ryan Griffin, Jordan Akins, and Jordan Thomas. There's no way you keep Jordan Thomas off his team with his blocking. You know, he's been doing really good with that in the preseason as well as in camp. So those are going to be your three guys at tight end. Now, who's going to start? That's still up for grabs, but they're making this roster. No doubt about it.
Ryan Griffin's going to start until Jordan Akins starts showing a little bit more. I mean, he had one good game in the preseason, but Ryan Griffin is the veteran. The veteran usually gets the nod, and Ryan Griffin, you know, he hasn't played himself out of it. Now, Ryan Griffin gets injured, and that's what we're going to count on because that's probably where we're going to see a lot more of Jordan Akins. But, yeah, and I wasn't expecting anything. I wasn't expecting Steven Anderson to beat these guys out. Those are the three guys. As soon as you draft two tight ends, that's what you knew was probably going to happen. So, yeah, we'll find out more in the next few days. But we got a game in a couple of days. Looking forward to that, although I'm not that looking forward to it because it's, you know, we're not going to see hardly anybody out there that we really want to see. But, you know, those last, if you're interested in those last little position battles, it'll be an interesting game to watch. But before we wrap it up, I just want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell all your Texans friends, let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, iTunes, most anywhere you'll find your favorite podcast. Do us a favor, share the links to our show with your social media followers so we can bring more people to the party. And email LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. Again, where are you guys listening to us? Like, where around the world? We know you're out there all over the world listening to the Locked On Texans podcast, and we want to find out who you are and where you're doing that from, because it'd just be fun to kind of tell our listeners like what the scope of this thing is. Before I finish up, also want to remind everybody that Brian is doing his stuff over on houseofhouston.com, a fan site affiliate, Houston Sports Talk podcast. This week, talking to Bob Ballou, our Texas Longhorns expert from KITV, CBS, and Austin. He covers them for that affiliate over there. And so you're going to want to hear what he has to say about Tom Herman and the Horns for this season. But as far as this one goes, that's all we got. And as always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.